Lord, I thank you for your holy word. And I know that your word says that to the world, the message of the cross is simply foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power and wisdom of God. So may the truth of your word be clearly spoken by me today. May it be clearly heard by me and those here today, and may it be clearly received. May it be for your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the fourth and final sermon in the Advent series that I've put together for us this year. 3 weeks ago, we heard Isaiah's prophecy that pointed us to the hope that we have in Christ. 2 Sundays ago, we read Micah's prophecy and were reminded of the peace that we have in Christ. Last week, we studied Luke's account of the shepherds, which pointed us to the joy that we have in Christ. And today, I'd like us to meditate on John's gospel, which will remind us of the love that we have from God in Christ. Hope, peace, joy, and Hudson, I don't think my clicker's, oh, there it goes, okay, it's good. Hope, peace, joy, and love. You've probably received at least a couple Christmas cards that have those words on it, and they do make for nice Christmas cards. But what does love have to do with Christmas? Where does love fit into the story of the birth of Christ? Well, there's 3 verses in John that will hopefully help us answer those questions. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn to John chapter 3. And before we look at those particular scriptures, I'd first like us to define love, which is a bit tricky because in the English, love has several different meanings. In the Greek language, it's much easier because it's very defined as to what the word means, but none of us speak Greek, so it doesn't do us any good. Usually we talk about the four Greek words of love around Valentine's Day, but I think that this year, Christmas is actually a very appropriate time to remind ourselves of those meanings as well. And so the first one, you may recognize this, the first kind of love is the kind of warm love that is expressed between friends. Like the kind of love that's between me and my friend Dan. I love Dan, and I hope Dan loves me. It's phileo kind of love, brotherly, friendly kind of love, right? The second kind of love is referred to as storge love. It's the kind of love that you find a natural kind of love within a family. Like the kind of love that I have for my son, Isaiah. I love Isaiah. I love Dan, and I love Isaiah. But those are 2 different kind of loves. Third kind of love, often in this list, is expressed in the name Eros kind of love. The kind of love that you'd find in a romance or a marriage. Like the kind of love that is between me and my wife, Megan. Now, I love Dan, but not like I love Megan. I love Isaiah, but not like I love my wife. I phileo Dan, I storge Isaiah, I eros Megan. If I were to butcher those things. But what about God's love for me and you? Well, there's a 4th kind of love that is helpful as we describe these things, and of course you know it as agape love. The sacrificial kind of love that God has demonstrated toward me and you. It's the kind of love that God has for humanity, sacrificial kind of love. Now, we as humans can also express this kind of love, but it's much different than the other three. Because agape love is not based on feelings or the response of the other person. Agape love is a choice that I make. I'm going to love you no matter how I feel about it or no matter what your response is. Agape love is unmerited, it's undeserved, and it's always others-focused. Agape love is more than words, it's actions, and it's very gracious. It always seeks to give. That's what agape love is. And so God, amidst all of his other attributes that he does perfectly, God also loves perfectly. And it is certainly a one-way kind of love. And sometimes we as humans, we're able to love each other with agape love, but oftentimes our selfish pride gets in the way and it muddies things and messes things up. Our motives are often impure. We love so that we can get something back. Many times it's, I like you, and then if I like you, then I'll also, maybe I can love you. It's also, if you love me, then I'll love you. That's how we mess it up. The thought us in our selfish pride is, I'll give to you if you give to me. That's not agape love. Agape love says, regardless of what you've done or what you will do, I agape you. I love you. And so this kind of love should be on display between friends, in addition to phileo love. It should be on display, this agape love should be on display between family, in addition to storge kind of love. This kind of agape love should be on display in a marriage, in addition to eros kind of love. Agape love is the highest form of love. Which brings us to probably the most famous verse in the Scriptures, John 3:16. Hopefully you've heard it, and if not, thankfully I get the opportunity to share it with you this morning. It is God's good news, and it is the foundation of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the God who is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, the God who is faithful, immutable, eternal, infinite, holy, just, merciful, gracious, independent, sovereign, and wise, that God is also love. And he so loved the world that he gave what kind of love? Agape love. Not friendly kind of love, not family kind of love, not a frisky kind of love, but a selfless, sacrificial love that seeks to give to the one who does not deserve his love. So God's giving of the gift was born out of his agape love for humanity. A humanity that was God's enemy. A humanity that had rebelled against God. A humanity that was wicked and evil and wretched. And so what was the gift that God gave? Well, of course, it was his one and only Son, Jesus. God gave his beloved Son as the gift to an undeserving world. God gave the gift and a promise. The promise is that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, will not die spiritually, will not face eternal death, but instead will be given everlasting, eternal life. This is good news for a world that's at war with God. And so the promise of God is offered in love, and it's received by believing in the Son that was sent. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It was the arrival of the promise, the arrival of the gift that God had sent in love that was intended to save you from eternal death. So verse 16 is God's promise, and verse 17 is God's purpose. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through Jesus. This answers the why question. Why questions are very helpful. They're very good, unless they're being asked by a four-year-old 47 times in a four-minute span. I know what that's like. But if you were to ask why did God the Father send Jesus the Son? Well, John 3:17 is part of the answer. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. He ministered throughout all Israel. He was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected in Jerusalem. Why? Save us from our sins. To deliver us from darkness. To rescue us from God's wrath against wickedness. Jesus did not come to condemn us. That's not why he came. He didn't come to inflict a penalty upon us. Jesus is for us. He's not against us. He came because of love, not because you were good, not because you deserved, but because God is good, because God deserves glory. So his first coming as a baby who became a man was for the purpose of redeeming us from our rebellion against God. And so what did the angel announce to the shepherds? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And so, simple question, what do Saviors do? They save. They don't condemn. They save. What does he save you from? I'm glad you asked, because that is verse 18. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The Word of God tells you the truth about your standing before God. Because of the sins of Adam and Eve in the garden, every human born since was born into sin. And sin separates us from a holy God. The penalty for your sin is condemnation. It's eternal death. A person standing before God is not still to be determined. Everyone who is living, has ever lived, well, is still alive, their standing before God has already been determined. They are guilty. They have been condemned to death. Their sin is punishable by an eternal sentence in hell to be separated forever from God's love. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor, I thought you said that God is love. Well, he is, but he's also just, which means he must punish sin. He's 100% love and 100% just, all at the same time. He's merciful and he's holy. He must punish sin, and yet he loves us. How do those things come together? So it's as if everyone ever born was already sentenced to death. They've been condemned to the death penalty. And now humanity is simply imprisoned, waiting there on death row for the execution to come. And this, when you think about it, is really bad news. It is news that is meant to break a person's heart, to humble them, so that they might cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer is part of Christmas, the good news of Christmas. Christmas is about a Savior who gave up everything and came to save you. And so, in a sense, it's as if Jesus walked into your prison cell and said, "I know you're here on death row, but I've got good news for you that's going to be really hard for you to believe. But I've come to set you free. I've already paid the full penalty of your crime by dying on the cross in your place. And the judge has said that you can go free if you'll simply believe in my death and resurrection. The judge says you can go free, you'll be forgiven if you'll believe in me," Jesus says. And so this is God's pardon. It's his offer of love to those who actually deserve death. So God has sent his son to offer this salvation to everyone who would believe on him. He wants everyone who is condemned to be saved. But the scripture says that people love the darkness rather than the light. Many choose to stay in the prison cell of sin, despite the fact that the door to the cell is open. They can leave whenever they want, simply by believing on Christ. They choose to reject God's gracious gift of love, his gift of grace. Jesus is the only way of salvation, the only way. This is why he came. So this is God's promise, it's his purpose, and it's God's pardon. This is great news for anyone who has ears to hear. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the simple gospel. This is it. This is the word of sure hope, of lasting peace, of streams of joy, and the word of sacrificial love. All spoken for you. And so there is one question that remains as we consider these verses. And for the person who has never, ever said yes to Jesus, the question is, how will you respond to God's gift of love? There are two choices. You can either continue to reject it, or you can repent and receive it. You can either refuse to believe in God's promise, purpose, and pardon, or you can repent and turn from your sins and take hold of the gift of grace that God has given to you by faith. You can trust in the grace that came to set you free. And so for those of you who have already said yes to Jesus, you've already made a decision to believe on him as Savior, in these moments, may you again surrender your life to him. May you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him today and all the days of your life. May you walk in the way of agape love toward God with all of your heart and with all your soul and mind and strength. And may you sacrificially love your neighbor and your family member and your spouse as sacrificially as you love yourself. The scripture says, we love because he first loved us. What a gift he has given us. To God be the glory. Great and awesome things he has done.